Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you as always. We got our good buddy David Gage back with us, ladies and gentlemen. David is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and the founder of BMC Associates, which is a consulting firm that is, that helps companies. One of the things he does is he helps people form and hold together successful partnerships, including family businesses. He's an adjunct professor at American University's Kogod School of Business and the author of the Partnership Charter. But more importantly, he's our good friend. David, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back.
It's good to have you back. David, one of the things that that we've all observed these days is, you know, everybody knows that we got a challenging economy that seems to be mending, but there's still a lot of things that can go bump in the night out there. And one of the big challenges that's happening right now in the marketplace, as I look out across it, is the difficulty that startups are having. Mm-hmm. All small businesses are undercapitalized. I've said that for a long time, but the more undercapitalized small businesses that are in existence, and the ones who are trying to get started that are undercapitalized, are having a hard time getting financing, getting capital, because it's just not available for the really, really risky entities. And so it seems to me that 2009 ought to be a great year for partnerships. What do you think?
Well, I definitely think that that's
to pool the resources and accomplish one business model with pooled resources.
Right, right. It is. Partnerships are really so much about pooling resources, whatever kind of resources those are, whether they're sort of human capital resources or financial capital. The Wall Street Journal just had an article about a week or so ago saying that entrepreneurs are not paying themselves.
Oh, boy.
They can't afford to pay themselves.
That is an epidemic. And I mean that. I haven't talked about that much lately. Really, I haven't talked about it very much at all in the last several months, David, but I'm glad you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
If people knew how many small business owners are not paying themselves at all, very little, if at all, right now, it would shock people.
Oh, right. You talk about the executives in large businesses, and it's kind of news if they take a 10% pay cut or a 20% pay
cut.
Yeah,
you mean from 8.6 million down to 7.5 million?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's news. But you have a lot of business owners out there who, you know, they aren't telling anybody because they just don't talk about that kind of
thing. Well, and, you know, nobody knows about it, probably. For example, you know, if a big business cuts 1,000 employees,
right.
I'm not saying that the CEO doesn't care. I'm not saying that they're – obviously, I think those people would rather not disrupt those families' lives. I'm not saying that they don't care about that. But it typically doesn't impact their standard of living. But a small business owner will, I mean, 9 out of 10 small business owners that I know will take a cut themselves before they'll lay off one employee.
Right.
The first thing that they do is not lay off employees. The very first thing a small business owner does is to impinge on their own income.
Right, right. So I like to think about the enormous difference between somebody who runs a public company and somebody who runs her own business. You know, it's just enormous. I think in terms of what we're talking about, the pay, for example, the owner of the public company just feels like he or she deserves to be paid, and they do.
Right.
It's true.
Yeah.
And if the company's really in trouble, well, they still deserve to be paid as, until the things go on, you know, until it's gone under.
Well, and what makes you nuts, what makes me nuts, is when they run the company into the ground and they leave with this golden parachute that makes them rich for the rest of their lives.
Right. And the owner is thinking, oh, my goodness, this thing is going south, and I have to stop paying myself because
right.
I want this business
mm-hmm.
to survive.
Yeah.
It's sort of about survival. And
it's classic.
One, yeah.
So what's the answer?
Well, the answer is to have a partner. Now, the answer is when you do have a partner, it is a lot easier for two people to start working for practically nothing than it is for one person.
But you and I both have seen partnerships where the partners didn't take it, will cut themselves back too. They agreed on that. Hold on, we're going to take a quick break, folks. These are cautionary tales for those of you who are thinking about becoming business owners. And we got some other ideas. David's going to have some other good ideas for us. Right after these messages, it's 20 till. Here's Joe Cocker to take us out. More Joe Cocker. Does it get any better than this? Oh, we're rocking. This is a wild and crazy Englishman, ladies and gentlemen. I love one of his albums is called Mad Dogs and Englishmen. How about that? I'm not sure which one he is. I think he may be a little bit of both. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Mad Dog Blassingame, that's what they call me. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog when you get there, which we update on a regular basis. And also check out my knowledge base, AskJim.biz. I said that, I think, in my newsletter. You can subscribe to that. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. And we got a lot of other stuff that we'll send you. If you'd like for us to follow you home, you don't have time to come back as often as you'd like, but you would like to keep up with what we got going on, just go to our site and subscribe. You can RSS many, many things there on our site, thousands of things that we do, and even including some of the things we haven't done yet. That's right. As we do them, we'll send them to you. And a lot more of that to come, too, by the way. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame, all one word, on Twitter. Check that out when you get a chance. David Gage is our guest, folks. He's the author of The Partnership Charter, and he's one of our top partnership experts in the Brain Trust, and that's what we're talking about right now. How do you use a partnership to your advantage? You know, David, I've always encouraged people who are going into partnerships to go into it with what I call a healthy skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
Partnerships—it's really, really hard to be a successful small business owner. Anybody can start a business, mm-hmm. anybody can form a partnership, but to operate a business or a partnership successfully is really hard work, and it takes a lot of proper starting. When you start out with the initial planning, the understandings between everybody. It's difficult to operate it well, especially if you don't start out well.
That is so true. And we were talking a moment ago about how different it is to own a business yourself as opposed to run a public company. It's just very
mm-hmm.
different. Not that it's easier, not that it's harder, but it's very different when it's your own company and it's, say, financially threatened or whatever. But then you have the difference between the person who owns his or her own company and the people who co-own a company, you know, because they have
yep.
partners. So, for example, what we were talking about before the break, where, you know, the financial and economic strains cause the owner not to take money out. They don't pay themselves.
Right.
They just keep paying their employees because they have to. That employees have to get paid. But if you've got a partner and you're under the same kind of financial strain, well, that's a different matter because you've got to. The challenge for partners, Jim, is really that they have to collaborate day in
mm-hmm.
and day out.
And I've found that one of the challenges, especially when things get tough, my experience, David, has been that's when the blending of values really mm-hmm. is heightened. Whether who's got the work ethic, who can take the stress, who's willing to put in the extra effort when the going gets tough. finding a partner who has your same values or complementary values, maybe I should also say, that's not an easy thing to do. And just because somebody is agreeable to be in a business with you, or they like the idea, or you guys are buddies and you know you like to play golf together, or whatever you do with your buddy, that doesn't mean that person is going to be a good partner, does it?
Right. And one of the interesting things about values is that people are working together and they're making decisions, and sometimes they're knocking heads together because of their values, but they don't have a lot of clarity about what those values are. And it's not that some values are right and some values are wrong necessarily, but they don't have, like, the grist for the mill. They don't have the the data to talk about their values. And one of the things we do is, I found years ago a really good, it's called a personal values test. And it's great for entrepreneurs who have partners, because it gives them feedback about, on values, listen to this, about 8 different values. Some of them are power-seeking, humanitarian, spiritual, individualistic, things like that, that really help you understand, well, oh, that's why you make a decision that way. Now I get it.
Well, you know, and there are two kinds of, to me, there are two kinds of values, and well, maybe I should say values and skills, because values are, it seems to me, are, you know, what you mentioned, the humanitarian part. If one partner's humanitarian, the other one doesn't care that much about being, you know, being benevolent to other people, then, you know, you got a little bit of a conflict there. And so it's good to know about those things going in. But the other thing is, are the skill sets. I mean, I knew a couple of guys who had an insurance and financial advising company, and one of them was a great prospector, and the other one was a great closer.
Right.
And so they shared those roles. One of them didn't want to go prospect at all. The other one didn't want to close at all.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
And so they had a perfect little partnership there, and they kind of got along. But so there's so many things. Now, one of the things that you do, you've got your book, The Partnership Charter. And you know, I know that you've been using the concept of the stress test, the bank stress test. And your charter would be a good stress test for a partnership consideration, wouldn't it?
Right, because it has a structure to it, and it has different conversations for partners.
I want you to tell us a little bit more about that when we come back after these messages. We're going to be right back, folks. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. Little Heartland music coming back with John Mellencamp. 7 Till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend David Gage. David is the author of The Partnership Charter. David, tell us how we can find you online and a little bit about your company.
Well, people can go to bmcassociates.com, short for Business Mediation and Collaboration, bmcassociates.com, and they can find articles that we've written of all kinds of business partner issues and family business issues and things like that.
And in addition to your book, of course, which is there, one of the things you also do is, if somebody has a problem with a partnership or like a family business or something like that, you come in as your title of your company would indicate, and mediate and help kind of weed through the difficulty and help them get back on track.
We do. There are partners who, you know, as they live through their partnership and over the years, they, you know, things happen like they...
Well, people change.
They do.
And except for me, I'm still perfect after all these years.
Well, yeah, you're different, Jim.
Exactly.
But something may come up, and like this whole financial business, and they may get stuck. Partners may get stuck on, you know, pay and or perks and, you know, is it
or fair? Exit strategies.
We've found that people really will have, partners really will have difficulty working through something, setting up a buy-sell agreement, for example, or they realize they need to change their buy-sell agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And what often happens is they get a lawyer or two involved, and it just...
Not good.
Seems to get stalled.
Not good. When lawyers get involved, God bless them, we need them sometimes, but when you're trying to solve a problem and keep people together, lawyers, not all, but many lawyers tend, especially when you bring in two lawyers,
mm-hmm.
one on either side, they tend to create more conflict than is already there.
So we were working with a family business out in California, and the siblings had to do a new buy-sell agreement because they bought out the cousins and the aunt and everything, and they said, oh, my gosh, we need a better buy-sell agreement than we had. And they were working with lawyers, and it was just going nowhere, Jim.
Yeah.
Just totally
yep.
stalled, Dada
yep.
trying to...
Adversarial.
...do every phrase, and... And it just... They called us in, we sat them down, the principals, you know, the siblings, and
mm-hmm.
we talked about what they needed, and we got them collaborating. We got them to sign a letter of intent around the buy-sell agreement. And then we had to say, okay, now listen, you're going to need help with your lawyers because they're going to try to slow
this
down. And
you're going to pick it apart, yeah.
Tear this apart, exactly. So at first they said, no, they'll do it fine. We came back 6 months later and the buy-sell agreement hadn't moved one inch further.
Wow.
And they said, okay, we do need your help. And one of the lawyers on our team, who's a mediator working with them, was able to get their lawyers, kind of kick some butt and get their lawyers to get that agreement finally in final form
yeah.
so they could sign it.
Well, I don't mean to paint all lawyers this way, but there's something about getting a lawyer on both sides of the table that is not conducive to resolution, and that's where I think my suggestion is as long as you can, keep the business people in charge of the conversation,
right.
and including you. I consider you to be a business person, not as opposed to being a lawyer,
right.
and you bring your lawyers in to do the things that lawyers need to do, like contracts.
Right.
But the negotiation, the agreement, what the meeting of the minds of the business people, let them do that on their own with the help of someone like you who is also a business person.
Well, lawyers are paid to be zealous advocates for
That's
people.
Right. That's
and
right.
When you have partners, you don't really acting like, you know, a zealous advocate can really kind of destroy the process.
One of the things I love this. You remember the book, the author Robert Ringer, Winning Through Intimidation, Looking Out for Number One.
Oh, right.
Great books, by the way, folks. If you get a chance, they're 30, 40 years old, but they're still valid. He said whenever he was across the table in a situation like that, he said when the lawyer would start out saying he wants this, and he said then in a little bit he would say we want this.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, whenever the lawyer got to the point where he said, I want this, he said, that's when I got up from the table and left.
It's tricky.
Yeah,
business.
Absolutely. Hey, give us that website one more time, David.
It is B as in boy, M Mary, B Charlie, BMCAssociates.com.
All right. Hey, check that out when you get a chance, folks. And the book is called The Partnership Charter. It is an outstanding guide if you guys are out there trying to put together a partnership or save a partnership. Hey, David, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see
My
you next
pleasure.
Time.
Thank you.
David Gage, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.